Welcome to our Bible study segment, and we've got Beth Seifert here with today's Bible lesson in 1 Samuel. So open your Bibles there if you have them, and remember, all of these segments are recorded and saved, archived in our Bible studies archives. You can download the study guides that go with each one of these and have your own Bible study with your ladies around your own kitchen table, and we just welcome Beth Seifert. Thanks for joining us, Beth.
Hey there, Amy. Well, yesterday we saw David and Jonathan as they were preparing to figure out what Saul is really up to and to see where their relationship was going to go from there. So we're going to pick back up that story in 1 Samuel chapter 20, verses 16 through 34. And Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, "May the Lord take vengeance on David's enemies." And Jonathan made David swear again by his love for him, for he loved him as he loved his own soul. Then Jonathan said to him, "Tomorrow is the new moon, and you will be missed because your seat will be empty. On the third day, go down quickly to the place where you hid yourself when the matter was in hand, and remain beside the stone heap. And I will shoot three arrows to the side of it, as though I shot at a mark. And behold, I will send the boy, saying, 'Go find the arrows.' If I say to the boy, 'Look, the arrows are on this side of you, take them,' then you are to come, for as the Lord lives, it is safe for you, and there is no danger. But if I say to the youth, 'Look, the arrows are beyond you,' then go, for the Lord has sent you away. And as for the matter of what you and I have spoken, behold, the Lord is between you and me forever." So David hid himself in the field, and when the new moon came, the king sat down to eat food. The king sat on his seat, as at other times, on the seat by the wall. Jonathan sat opposite, and Abner sat by Saul's side, but David's place was empty. Yet Saul did not say anything that day, for he thought, "Something has happened to him. He is not clean. Surely he is not clean." But on the second day, the day after the new moon, David's place was still empty. And Saul said to Jonathan, his son, "Why has not the son of Jesse come to the meal, either yesterday or today?" Jonathan answered Saul, "David earnestly asked leave of me to go to Bethlehem. He said, 'Let me go, for our clan holds a sacrifice in the city, and my brother has commanded me to be there. So now, if I have found favor in your eyes, let me get away and see my brothers.' For this reason he has not come to the king's table." Then Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan, and he said to him, "You son of a perverse, rebellious woman, do I not know that you have chosen the son of Jesse to your own shame and to the shame of your mother's nakedness? For as long as the son of Jesse lives on the earth, neither you nor your kingdom shall be established. Therefore send and bring him to me, for he shall surely die." Then Jonathan answered Saul, his father, "Why should he be put to death? What has he done?" But Saul hurled his spear at him to strike him. So Jonathan knew that his father was determined to put David to death. And Jonathan rose from the table in fierce anger and ate no food the second day of the month, for he was grieved for David because his father had disgraced him. Jonathan and David both know that a crossroads for their friendship has arrived. They take the time they have to reaffirm their friendship. It's a beautiful scene, honestly. They both know the next day will be a trial for them, and they're ready to go into it, but they will take the time to celebrate the friendship that God has given them first. Instead of putting it off in hopes that things will go well, they seize the moment. Jonathan aligns himself completely with David, calling for the destruction of David's enemies, even if one of those enemies is his father, Saul. When this important matter is concluded, they get back to business. They hatch a plan on how to determine Saul's feelings and how to deliver that news to David without putting him in danger, if there is danger. Now, I'm not going to sugarcoat this. They planned a lie. Was there another way to determine what Saul's motives were? Yep. Was this the best choice? I don't know. Honestly, I'm sure that they felt like this was the best way to safely determine the motive of Saul, but I can't help but think that even simply having Jonathan ask his father would have been a better choice, simply because they wouldn't have been choosing to sin to find out the answer. Now, I want to be clear that I understand that life is messy, and I get that the answers aren't always clear, but deliberately deciding to sin even to achieve a good or a neutral end, I don't think the end justifies the means. The first night of the festival, Saul does notice that David is absent, but he says nothing. He assumes that David is ritually unclean and is performing the necessary rituals in order to become clean so he can attend the next night. But the next day, however, he has to ask. After all, he can't simply admit that David is probably in hiding because Saul has tried to kill David, the hero of the people. And his anger at learning where David is supposed to be is astonishing. He immediately lashes out at Jonathan. The interesting thing about this is he was right. Saul was right. Jonathan had sided with David against Saul. However, Saul doesn't understand his son at all. Jonathan doesn't care about establishing his own kingly line. Jonathan wants David to be king. Saul is the one who wants to establish his own kingdom, and he must do that through his son, Jonathan. So really, he's mad at Jonathan for preventing his own kingdom from being established, even though Saul knows that God told him that wasn't going to happen. His kingdom was not going to be established. Saul demands that David be brought to him so he can kill David, and Jonathan's appropriate question, why? What has he done? Is not answered. Instead, Saul tries to kill Jonathan too. I can just picture Jonathan here as he gets up from the table. He's angry at his father for his reprehensible treatment of David, an absolutely innocent man, and for his father's treatment of himself. And his heart is also probably breaking as he got up, because he knows that this means his dearest friend will have to run for his life, and they will be separated. Saul's priorities were always off base. He was always so concerned about himself and his worldly position that he could not fathom any other motivation for doing anything. Jonathan has no desire to have the throne instead of David. He knows that David is the right one for the job, and he's fine with that. Jonathan and David spent their time seeking God's will and attempting to further God's plan. Saul spent his time trying to further his own agenda. Looking at just this scene, who do you think has more peace? Who is full of bitterness and anger? Is Saul's ambition doing him any good? He's a miserable man who not only isn't going to get what he wants, but he's making everyone around him miserable by trying to get what he wants. He's making things worse and worse for himself, and the only ones who stay around him are those who have their own agendas. Saul can't see God in anything. He's too busy running from God and God's pronouncement on his kingship. He continues to find ways out of his fate, but that's not going to work. Now, I want you to pay special attention to David in the next few chapters. While Saul becomes more and more miserable, David runs for his life, but in all of it, you don't see the same panic and fear in David that you see in Saul. David continues to seek God, and even when David ends up in enemy territory more than once, David thrives, and more to the point, David trusts in God and is at peace, even in some harrowing circumstances. We need to remember that God has our best interests in mind. We need to be actively seeking Him, not our own agenda. The peace, joy, and blessings to be found in letting Him take control are unfathomable. And they're a treasure worth far more than gold or rubies in this life. Even more important is knowing you are seeking God and doing what He wills and preparing yourself for the next life, the real life, eternity with Him. So that's really my question for us all today. Whom are you seeking? Are we doing everything we can to put forward our own agendas? Is there something that you know is not God's will? Probably because whatever it is you are thinking about is sinful. Yet you're still going to try to find a loophole so that you can do what you want with God's blessing? Guess what? He's not going to change. It's hard to give up your own will. It is hard work to die to yourself and to get in line with Him. But once you do, the freedom you have from that sin is real. It is no longer has a hold on you. And that's a big deal. Look at Saul. Look at the grown-up temper tantrum he throws here. Is that really something you want to mirror in your life? Saul throws a fit because he can't get what he wants. What about you? Is there something you want that you can't have? And you're right at the point where Saul is, ready to throw a fit? My challenge for us all today is simply to let go. Stop holding on to your own agenda. Let it go. Get in line with God's will and find that freedom from sin.
Well, thank you, Beth. And Beth's study guides, as well as the 10-minute podcasts of these presentations, are all available in our archives under the Bible Studies tab of our website, naomistable.com. Nancy and I will be back with more on this in just a moment.